Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in region beyond the river of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and he did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, we do give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your love. We give thanks for the life that you give. Bless us now with your spirit and help us to hear the words that you would speak to us. Words of love and of grace, words of compassion, and words that challenge us to grow. May we hear your holy and living word today, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope you'll help me get the word out with my accident. Now, the truth is, I did break my arm, but I also fractured my pride, and so that seems to be harder to heal. Tell as many people as you can, and that way I don't have to tell the story as much. Basically, you can just give them the short version, which is, he was trimming trees and he fell off a ladder. And that's really what happened. Broke his arm, bruised up shoulder, dislocated finger. And that's the short version. I have a long version. And if you get me on enough pain meds, I'd be glad to share it with you. But it was interesting. The one thing I'll share with you is when I was taking the ambulance ride to the emergency room, and when I knew my wrist was broken was when they reached down and you know how they try to check your pulse, and I said, oh, you can't touch that. That was painful. But I am glad to be with you this morning. I can't think of another place to be. I know Harold was looking forward to preaching, but I told him, I said, I didn't hurt my vocal cords, so I think I'm okay. And one of the things we want to do today is we're going to talk about fatherhood. Now, when we talk about fatherhood, I realize that half the folk here aren't fathers. But I want you to understand, when I wrote the sermon, I did it with, you know, even though I'm addressing fathers, it can be parts of this that is for everybody, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak. And so let's just be open to what God says to us on this day. The other part of this is I don't think that the church ought to just lift up any one group. And I think it's so important that we understand our church is not just a place where we have biological fathers. Truth is, that's the easy part, okay? It's being a spiritual father that is the challenge that we have to deal with in life. And so we're going to talk about what does it look like to be a spiritual father. You know, the idea for creating Father's Day began in Spokane, Washington. A woman named Sonora Smart Dodd thought of the idea for Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father after her mother died, Sonora wanted her father to know how special he was to her. It was her father who made all of the parental sacrifices and was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, and loving man. Her father was born in June, and so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, on the 19th of June, 1910. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. Now, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and unappreciated heroes in all of humanity. And here are a list of some of the things that dads have to put up with. You know, back in the 1990s, there was a statistic that the greatest number of long-distance calls were made on Mother's Day, and the largest number of collect calls were made on Father's Day. Or what about this conversation between a father and his daughter? Father said to his daughter, "Why, what's wrong, Judy? Usually you talk for an hour on the phone. This time you only talked for 30 minutes. How come? You feeling okay? You doing all right?" And Judy replied, "Oh, Dad, I'm fine. It was just a wrong number." Or what about a letter from a college freshman to his parents? "Please send food packages. All they serve here is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you want breakfast, you have to get up before 10 o'clock. And then another son wrote his dad, "Dear Dad, please let me hear from you more often, even if it's only $5 or $10. You know, dads have an interesting way of interacting with their children. The world, according to Dad, well, you hear things like this: "This is going to hurt me more than this hurts you." Or, "Dad, you ever said this one? Bring back the change. All of it." And, of course, dads always are saying, "Don't forget to change the oil." Another one's dads likes to say, "Do I look like I'm made of money?" And that's quit playing with your food. Or this one, this curse always works. I think I've already used this on my kids. "Just wait until you have kids of your own." Or this one, "Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mom will kill you." Or this one, "Be quiet. Can't you see I'm trying to think here?" Or, and this is probably the most famous one, "Don't make me pull this car over." So you've heard some of these dadisms, have you? But it is on this day that we come and we celebrate fatherhood, spiritual fatherhood. We give thanks for godly fathers and for what they mean for us in our lives. I came across this prayer the other day about a godly father. And it says this: "Mender of toys, leader of boys, changer of fuses, kisser of bruises, bless him, O Lord. Mover of couches, soother of ouches, pounder of nails and a teller of tales, bless him, O Lord. Raker of leaves and cleaner of the eaves, dryer of dishes and fulfiller of wishes, bless him, O Lord. Hanger of screens and a counselor to teens, fixer of bikes and chastiser of tykes, bless him, O Lord." You know, there are so many examples of godly fathers in the Bible, but one of those was Joshua. Joshua is the scripture that we had read today. We find Joshua at the age of 110, and he summons the leaders of Israel to Shechem, and here he offers his farewell address. He charges them to obey God in all things, because it was God who had fought for them. It was God who had given them an inheritance, who had given them a land, who had made them a people. And it was ultimately God who had given them the family of Israel. And what does he say to them? Choose this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, in the Old Testament, a father's role was to be the priest of his family. You remember Abraham? Abraham was a priest to his family. Moses was a priest to his family. Job was a priest to his family. Job would wake up early just to go out and pray for his children. And again, we find Joshua a priest to his family. And one of the things about being a priest is a priest has to have close contact with God. A priest has to have close contact with God. You know what child experts tell us? Kids develop their belief system from their mother. They learn how to practice their belief system from their father. Dads, you want your kids to go to church? You got to go to church. Dads, you want your kids to grow up praying? You better be praying. That's a big job. I mean, for dads, it's not about what we say as much as it is about what we do and how we live out our spiritual life, because guess what? There are eyes that are watching us. And this is true not just for fathers, but grandfathers and uncles, really all the men of our church. You know, I learned the importance of prayer from my dad. I must have been 13 years old. My father had had a spiritual kind of awakening, if you will. Had grown up not really being in a family that believed in God or even went to church. My dad's dad was an alcoholic and would frequently beat him. And so my father ran away when he was 17 years old. Did not have a good relationship with his dad. Matter of fact, he really didn't have a relationship with his heavenly father either. And so when I grew up, I remember being a little kid, and it was just my mom and my older sister and myself going to church. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I can't wait until I'm a dad, because then I don't have to go to church anymore. But my dad had a spiritual awakening. He went from being an atheist to a believer in Jesus Christ. And it happened about the time that I was 13 years old. And I remember, man, this is just the weirdest thing. My dad's in church with me. And then I walked in on him in the bedroom. So I walk into my parents' bedroom, and what do I see? My dad kneeling at his bed praying. He looked up at me, I looked at him, and I felt like I was interrupting something that was very private and very personal. And so I said, I'm so sorry. And I went back out, and my father said, no, come here. And he said, you won't believe this, but I was just praying for you. And he said, come here. And he had me kneel down beside him at the bed. And he said, I think God's trying to tell me something. And he prayed for me. My friends, that was the first time that I'd ever heard my father pray. Not only that, but he prayed for me. He blessed me. And I remember when he was done, we were both in tears. And he looked at me and he said, son, I'm sorry. And I said, Dad, you don't have to be sorry. He said, I'm sorry. I'm the one that walked in on you. He goes, no, no, that was what God wanted to happen. He said, I'm sorry because I didn't pray for you sooner. I didn't bless your life sooner. I let these moments pass by. And I didn't share the love of God with you. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to let that happen anymore. And sure enough, time to time, my father would grab me and hug me. And he'd say a prayer, whether I wanted it or not. But I tell you what, I always wanted it. You know, Matt reminds me of the story about the gentleman whose dad had just passed away. He and his dad had never been really close. And he had always had this image in his head that someday they were going to work things out. Someday they were going to see eye to eye. Someday they were going to have a heart to heart and they were going to talk man to man. That he was going to share with his dad really what his dad meant to him, because even though they had never had a heart to heart, his father was not a bad man. His father just didn't share his feelings. Well, that day didn't come because his dad passed away. And so he found himself going through his dad's belongings. And one of the things that he was looking for was something that would remind him of his dad. One of the things he found was an old tackle box. And he opened it up and he remembered all the discussions they'd had about all the different lures in there. And he was thankful for that. But at the same time, it still wasn't what he was looking for. He didn't get to hear from his dad the words he wanted to hear. And he said a prayer to God at that moment. He said, God, is this it? Is this all I get? A tackle box? Then he decided that he was going to do something different. He decided that God was speaking to him, because one of the things he had never done was bless his children and talk to them eye to eye and tell them how he felt. And so he sat down and he wrote them all a letter, because he wasn't good with words, speaking the words. So he wrote them how he felt. And then he gave the letter to them. And when that man passed away, his children didn't have just a tackle box. They had their daddy's own words in their hands, expressing his love for each of them. Maybe that's something we ought to do as fathers, to stop just leaving the emotional work to the women and to truly man up. And to start owning the fact that we are emotional and spiritual beings as well. And that we have been called to be leaders in our families. To be spiritual leaders, servers, love givers. We ought to be praying for our kids. We ought to be taking them to church. If you want your kids to read the Bible, read it with them. This is what it means to be a spiritual leader. And the truth is, as you spiritually lead, there's going to be times that you do well, and there's going to be times that you don't do so well. But it's okay. There's forgiveness. Just get back on that horse and keep doing what you need to do. But a priest is not only just close to God. A priest has to be close to the people. And that's another thing that we've been called to do. We've been called to be close to our children, to know our children, to understand them, and the good things and the bad things and the big things and in the small things. We need to know them. We need to be an interactive dad. A godly parent prays for the family. It's how we become a godly father, is by connecting with God and then sharing that connection with our children. Some months ago, I heard a touching story about a humble pastor whose young son had become very ill. After the boy had undergone an exhaustive series of tests, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. He wanted to tell his son, but he struggled with how to do it. And it was with guidance and strength from the Holy Spirit that he said a prayer with his young son, and then he gently told him that the doctors said that he only had a few months to live. There was silence. And the father said, "Son, are you afraid to meet Jesus?" And the little boy answered, "No. If Jesus is anything like you, Dad, I'm not afraid." My friends, I give thanks. I give thanks for godly fathers. I give thanks for godly parents. I give thanks for church who takes seriously the raising of our children, who prays for them, who reads with them, who teaches them, who shows them the love of Jesus Christ. And so on this day, to all of the fathers that are here, just as Joshua did at Shechem with the Israelites so many years ago, I want to challenge you now. Choose this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.